Those of you in here that are married realize that by now, if you've been married for any length of time at all, that marriage can either be heaven or it can be hell. It can be one of the two. It can be fantastic or it can be miserable. And I think all marriages go through different levels of where they are, whether they're in the heaven part or in the hell part, we would say. And I'm not saying that as a slang term. I'm saying as in apart from God. The terminology is being separated from the Lord. Because if a marriage is not in the Lord, guys, that's when it just becomes miserable. Now, if you're newlywed, things are probably still going great. Yeah, sometimes newlyweds, the first year doesn't go so great, but either way, it can be. But guys, there's going to be times where things don't go so good. Every single marriage will go through testing and trial. Every single marriage. There is no such thing as a marriage that does not go through testing and trial. It does not exist. The question is, do we know what to do when it goes through testing and trial? And are we going to do what the Bible says? The instruction manual. Guys, you can associate with this. You buy something. It's great. Now, you can't wait to put it together. But what's that piece of paper? Well, instructions. Who needs them? Toss them aside. Come on, you can certainly figure this out. You're a guy. We can figure these things out. And it's not till we get almost to the end with all the bolts and all the holes that are punched through that are permanent that we realize, uh-oh, there's one about 8 steps back that we've got to put in and we've got to take this whole thing back apart and start all over and it's miserable. I've done it. I put together this picnic table one time. I mean, how hard could it be? It's one of these outdoor back lawn things, you know, the glass thing, the round, the chairs go around it. And you turn it upside down and you do the legs, whatever. When I flipped it over, one of the legs was sticking straight up in the air. And the other. Now, how I did that, I don't know. You would think even I could figure that out. But I had to undo the whole thing, take it back off, spin the leg around and put it back down. Sometimes I get things reversed. But guys, that's our nature. Our nature is just to wing it and say, you know what? I can do it. I'll just do it. It's no big deal. The problem is when we go into marriage that way, guys, it can be disastrous. Because if we go into marriage not having the proper instruction manual and not knowing the proper instructions for how God designed marriage and what makes marriage work and what makes marriage fail, guys, we're going to end up with a leg sticking up in the air upside down in a spiritual sense, and we're going to be in big trouble. So my heart tonight is I hope that as we go through this, guys, that you realize the importance of the Bible when it comes to marriage. So, you know, we have this image of marriage. We'll just get married and we'll be happily ever after. Not. I mean, we get married and we go through hard times and we've got to know what to do when we get a flat tire. You know, when something goes, when a bolt flies off or do whatever, you've got to have some kind of direction to go back to. That's what this is about. So if you're just starting out, this is good. If you're in the middle of it, this is good. And it's been great for me. I have thoroughly been ministered to and been busted and been encouraged and all kinds of things. But it's basically God's instruction manual, the Bible. And so it's wisdom to take heed to it as we look at what it is to actually have a godly marriage and the way that we can, you know, keep a godly marriage and develop a godly marriage. I heard recently about a couple who just shared their 50th anniversary. They were in their 70s and had a fairly happy life as far as marriage goes. Getting old and kind of rickety in some parts, you know, and the man had lost his hearing for the most part. He could barely hear, you know, one of those things where he couldn't hear very much. But they were getting along, and they had this big 50th anniversary celebration. The whole family comes in and spent most of the day with them, almost the whole day. About sundown, the family leaves, goes back home, and so they're kind of just resting. They go out and sit on the front porch to watch the sundown, and he leans back and undoes his shirt and loosens his tie and just kind of leans back resting, you know. And as they're sitting there just kind of reflecting on the day, she says to him, you know, honey, I'm really proud of you. And he just kind of stopped for a minute, and he thought, and he kind of looked at her, and he said, well, you know, he said, I'm really tired of you too. I mean, kind of sad, but I guess it kind of revealed the heart. Now, why do I say that? Certainly, she didn't mean anything mean by that, and he came back because he didn't understand her. I assume that's a true story from the account, but the point being is, guys, that's how marriage can end up. One of us can think it went great. The other one can think it went not so great and even survive, but my desire for you guys tonight and for us is that we don't just survive marriage, that it's a blast. I can honestly say that Tracy's my best friend. I love my wife. I love my marriage. We've been through hard times. And I'll tell you, without God's instruction manual, I'm not going to say we wouldn't have made it because God is great. But I know this, we wouldn't have made it as well as we have. And things wouldn't be as sweet as they are. Because when things go wrong, guys, our natural reaction is not to do the right thing, especially if we don't know it. Our natural reaction is to do the wrong thing. But if we know what to do, then we can fix it. I remember going by a building one time, this sign was out front, it said Marital Arts. And I thought, now that's interesting. So I peeked in the window, and they're in there kicking each other and punching each other, wearing these white. Now, then I was, no, that's martial arts. I had it backwards. I was going to say, no, that's not the way to do things. I didn't really think that. But, guys, that's how a lot of times we approach marriage. We approach marriage almost like it's a battlefield. Who can get the best kick in? Who can get the best punch in? who can get the best strike in. That's not what it's all about. And I want to say this tonight, too. I want to say two things. One is, if your marriage is going great, it's not always going to. There's one first word of encouragement. And all that means is you got to be ready when the hard times come, because we all go through them. And secondly, if your marriage is going terrible, God can make it awesome again. He can turn it around. He can bless it. And he can just do unbelievably amazing things in relationships. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. First, we're going to look at wives, and then we'll get to husbands, and then we're going to get to family relationships, because that's the order that Paul lays it out here. But now, if we don't get through all of them, don't worry, we'll get back to it. We have communion tonight, so I don't want to rush it. But at the same time, I'm going to try to finish this whole part. But if we don't, if we just get to the wives tonight, don't worry. Husbands, we'll get them next week, so hang in there. Starting out with the wives, look what Paul says. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, this subject right here can get a pastor in a lot of trouble. Simply by saying that, some of you have already bristled. Maybe the hairs are standing up on the back of your neck. I don't know. I think I know why. There seems to be a real adversity to the word submit to women today. And I hope that by the time we're done describing it, there won't be that. But I think the reason that's there, guys, is because of Satan has successfully given our society a picture of what submission is. And it's not biblical submission. Satan has given our society a picture of what his type of submission is, but not biblical. And so he's painted it as a picture of somebody who is just completely face down in the mud with a foot on the back of their neck or something. That seems to be kind of the attitude, at least in the real feminist movements, about what submission is. But guys, that's not biblical submission at all. Biblical submission is something that is based in love, and is something that is based in graciousness, and something that is a beautiful thing when it's properly understood. Now, let's talk about a couple things. We're going to spend some time on this first one. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Guys, the first thing I want to point out that we have to look at this is that God gives... It's interesting, when you look at marriage, guys, God only gives one command for the woman. There's only one command that I know of. There's only one command in Scripture for you to do in marriage. Now, that shouldn't be so hard, should it? Submit to your husband. It's the only command for marriage in Scripture. And yet, we still don't always get that one right, do we? Now, don't worry, the guys are coming. The guys are coming as well. That should be pretty easy to follow if once we clear the issues up. First of all, guys, what is biblical submission? You know, I've tried to think of the best way to describe biblical submission in the past, and I believe the best way I know to describe biblical submission is Jesus to the Father. Jesus said this, I do only those things that the Father tells me to do, and I say only those things he tells me to say. And what do I mean by biblical submission? The Bible says that Jesus was equal with the Father in all things. The Father wasn't greater than Jesus. Jesus wasn't greater than the Father. They were equals. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Philippians 2, 5, and 8. Let me read it to you. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He realized God and I are equal. The Father and I, that is. Because he was God as well. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even on the cross. Guys, what Jesus did was, he realized that he was in full equality with the Father, but while on this earth, he chose to put himself under the Father, in rank, as in a military rank, that there might be order between he and the Father, and that the spiritual battle that the Father had sent him to do might be won. Let me explain. We're in a spiritual battle. And when Jesus came to the earth, he knew that he was in a spiritual battle. And he knew in order for the spiritual battle to be successful, he would have to come under his commanding officer, obey his commands, yet being equal with him. This is a military word. The word submit's a military word. Those of you with military backgrounds will understand this maybe better than those without military backgrounds. And that is this. It's not that the sergeant is greater than the private. It's simply he's in a different position of authority. And if you're going to go to battle, if the private decides that he's going to take over and all the privates decide they're all going to take over and everybody decides they're going to run their own thing, how do you think the battle's going to go? Think about Afghanistan. Right now we're in battle. There's colonels, sergeants, lieutenants, privates, there's the whole thing. What if all the guys under the commander decided, you know what, we're all just going to be making our own decisions? It would be chaos, utter chaos. And even though the military over there in Afghanistan, the Taliban, is not that strong, guys, we would end up being defeated if that was the attitude we took. Because there wouldn't be any unity, we'd be completely in disarray, and we'd be destroyed. Now take that example into the spiritual battle. The question is, what is biblical submission? It's simply coming under the one that is positionally put over you while here on this earth. In heaven, there won't be that. There won't be wives and husbands. The Bible says we'll be like the angels, not having wings, but being equal before the Father, all as children of God. We're equal down here. But at the same time, guys, we have certain positions down here, even as a military. And again, it's a military word. It literally means to line up in rank under. Now, that's what it says. That's what it means. But where Satan is successful in getting there to be kind of a tension in the male-female relationship, the husband-wife relationship, is where he makes it seem like that somehow the woman is lesser. That's not at all what biblical submission is. The Bible says this, men and women are exactly equal, even as Christ and the Father were equal. But even as Christ chose to come under the Father while on this earth, God asked the wife to come under her husband while on this earth so that the spiritual battle for your family might be won and there might be order in the home. Even as a military battalion wants order so the battle might be won. Guys, the home has to have order so that the battle might be won. That's just the bottom line. That's how God set it up. And that's how it has to be. Jesus did the same thing. And it's interesting, guys. There's oftentimes the accusation that somehow that it's men putting women in submission or the Bible puts women in some kind of bad, lesser position. Ask yourself this. Was Christ in a lesser position than the Father? Only while on the earth as his son, but completely equal in all things. Remember, God formed Eve from the rib. It's from man's side to be by his side as an equal, not from his feet to be under him and not from his head to be over him, but to be a helper from his side. That's how God designed it, and that's God's plan for it. It doesn't mean it's a dictatorship, and here's where we get into trouble. I think the unspiritual man will take this passage, and he will say, all right, honey, that means that whatever I say, you have to do it, no questions asked, and just, you know, serve me or whatever. We're going to find out when it comes to the husbands and what the Bible says about the husbands, guys, that it's exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, we're the ones supposed to be serving her and dying to ourselves. I don't want to get ahead of myself as to where I am. But again, when husbands and wives get in the proper roles that God has called them, guys, when a husband walks in the proper role God's given him, the wife doesn't have trouble submitting. And when the wife is submitting to the husband, it makes it a lot easier for the husband to lead in what God's called him to do. But when those two are in disarray, see, there's only two commands God gives to marriage. God gives wives one command for marriage. Here it is. You ready? One command, because God knows we're very forgetful. Submit to your husband. God gives the husband one command for marriage. That's it. You don't need books. You don't need seminars. You don't even need counseling if you really do what the word says. And that is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, again, I'm getting ahead of myself. But guys, all marital problems, I want to emphasize the word all, stem from those two commands. And whenever we deviate from those two commands, there's going to be problems in the home. Why? Because we're not unified in the battle. And now the enemy realizes that we're in disarray and he can move in and wreak havoc. Now, dictatorship. Heard a story about a man and a wife who went to a marriage seminar, and according to the account of it, they pretty much taught it as a dictatorship. They said the man is pretty much controls the home, and the wife has to do everything the man says and submit and never say a word and always just whatever. It was a very ugly type of presentation of this and an unfair presentation of the scripture. And that's what I fear, guys, that many guys can do. And I want to encourage us tonight not to misunderstand this. And hopefully, I'll explain it clear enough, and by the time we're done, that we'll see it clear enough that that's not what it is. Because again, that's going to get us in a lot of trouble. Notice it says, wives, submit to your husbands. We've talked about what submitting is, coming under that, lining up there in order to do battle in proper order for the family. But notice the last part of verse 22, guys, and this is key. You may want to underline it, especially ladies, as to the Lord. Now, what does he mean? Notice it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. What's my point? Wives, if you try to submit to your husband as to your husband, you're never going to be able to do it. And what do I mean by that? Well, maybe you're saying, man, you don't know my husband. God, give me a break. Submit to my husband? I mean, he can't even keep the checkbook straight. Submit to my husband? I mean, this guy didn't even have his own life together. How can I entrust to submit to him? So that him? And I've got the kids to worry about. What do you mean, submit to my husband? There's a real problem. No, as to the Lord. What does that mean? Guys, truly, ladies, it's submission to the Lord is what this is saying. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. You see, the true submission is not to your husband. The true submission is to the Lord. And here's the only way you're going to be able to do it. It's got to be an issue between you and your God, especially if you're struggling with whether or not your husband deserves to be submitted to or not. The Bible doesn't say submit to your husband if he deserves it. Submit to your husband if he's earned it. The Bible says submit to your husband as to the Lord. Again, the position being, it's an issue between you and your God. And I can tell you, guys, that people are going to make fun of you. Other women are going to make fun. If they see you, you know, if you go somewhere with a group of women and maybe they're either not walking with the Lord or they're not taught the word or maybe they're even unbelievers, and you see a sale on that blouse that you've been wanting, and you say, you know what, they're all getting it, saying, you better get it, there's only a couple left. No, my husband asked me if I wouldn't spend any money because right now our budget's kind of tight, so I'm not going to do that. What? It's just a blouse? Come on, he'll live. You'll get by. Put it on the credit card. You got 30 days. No. No, my husband asked me not to. And I know I've got 30 days, but I'm going to honor him. You're weird. What's your deal? And they're going to be shocked by that. I can promise you. But guys, what a statement. What a testimony to your faithfulness. And remember, it's not faithfulness to your husband. It's faithfulness to the Lord. I have talked to women before that say, you know what? You don't know my husband, and I just don't think I can submit to him because he's just completely a loser. You know, and it's like, I'm glad the husband didn't hear that. But I mean, I've heard that kind of thing. They've said it in so many words. Whether they've used that language or not, I don't know. But basically, they said this guy really is, and I just can't submit to somebody. You got to remember, you're not submitting to your husband because of who he is or what he's done. You're submitting to your husband because Jesus asked you to. And it's an issue between you and your God. Forget your husband. Put him out of the equation. Lord, I don't care if he's obedient. I don't care what he does. I don't care if he blows everything and loses all our money. You've asked me to do this. I'm going to submit to you and do it because I love you and I'm going to honor you. And God, you'll take care of him. Now, this is where faith and trust comes in, because that's hard to do. You know, God never tells us to worry about our spouse doing what they're supposed to do. God never says, now, bug your spouse until they do what my word says. You know what God says? God says, do what I've asked you to do, and I'll take care of your spouse. 1 Peter 3 talks about when your husband is not following the word, to submit to your husband that without a word, he may be won. Even without a word, he may be brought to Christ. God is faithful to do that. Our job is simply to do our part, and then God's job is to do the part in them. So it's to the Lord. It doesn't mean that, and I want to say this too, it doesn't mean now, as far as the wife submitting to the husband, does that mean now that the wife has no input in the family? Absolutely not. Let me get back to let's look at verse 23 even to get this in context. Listen to verse 21. Listen to what verse 21 says. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So before Paul even gets into the fact that the wife is to submit simply as a military position in rank so that the battle might be won in the home, before he even says that, he says, guys, we need to be submissive one to another. What that means is let's work together. The husband is the head of the wife and the head of the home. And we'll see that in just a minute. And therefore, God holds him responsible and accountable. And therefore, he's the one that's supposed to be leading and this kind of thing. However, the husband is not to leave his wife out of the life, the family life. A wise husband, and guys, I want to encourage you, a wise husband will spend time with his wife and say, honey, what do you think about this? I need to pray about this. You pray about it. Let's pray about it together. Honey, give me your input. What do you think? Well, honey, here's what I think. I think you're making a big mistake, and I think you're blowing it bad. If you're a wise husband, you'll go back to your knees and pray and say, Lord, she thinks I'm blowing it bad. Is this from you or is this from her? I need your wisdom here, God. You got to show me. A foolish husband will say, well, I don't care what you think. I'm the man of the house, and I'll make the decision. Guys, that's not the proper type of submission. That's dictatorship. Biblical submission and biblical headship is gentle and loving and willing to yield, willing to pray. I think of Abraham and Sarah. Now remember, Sarah comes to Abraham. Now let me say this, guys. When it comes to things that are enjoyable by the flesh or desired by the flesh, we're a lot easier to listen to our wife. And if it's things that aren't enjoyable to the flesh, we're not as easy to listen to our wife. I speak for the husbands. But the point is not to listen to our wife or listen to our husband. The point is to listen to the Lord. But remember Abraham and Hagar. Remember, Sarah comes to Abraham and says, look, I can't have a baby. Go into my, handmaid. Have a baby. Well, he says, sure, okay. He does it because it was enjoyable to the flesh. Bottom line is, he listened to his wife. He didn't take it to the Lord to find out, God, is that what you would have me do or whatever? Well, my wife's agreeable, so okay. But then comes along a little bit later, and God, what did God say? He said, Abraham, you blew it because you listened to your wife. But then a little bit later, remember Hagar, after Abraham was with her, they had Ishmael. Sarah comes to Abraham and says, look, you got to get rid of this kid. Start having family problems, basically. Problems with the children. And the wife says, honey, you need to deal with the kids. You're the man of the home. You need to deal with it. And so this time, he doesn't listen to his wife. He got it exactly reversed. The first time, it was agreeable to his flesh, so he went along with it and he did the wrong thing. The second time, it was not agreeable because it meant confrontation and he didn't go along. And then God intervened and said, listen to your wife. So we see a precedent for both. We see there's times where we have to be in prayer and maybe our wife won't agree with us, but we still have to move forward with what God tells us is best for our family. And then there's times that we think what's best, God says, you're doing something stupid. You better listen to your wife. And I've done a lot of things stupid that God has moved in my wife's heart to say, Mark, I think this is dumb. And so I've backed up and prayed about it and thought, yeah, she's right. That is dumb. That's not wise. So guys, a wise husband will listen to his wife. And that's the picture he's given here. He's like, we have to respond properly. Yes, the wife is to submit, but she submits us to the Lord. And again, it's only going to be wise if you view it as an issue between you and your God. Because I don't know of a single husband at all that's really worthy of submission. Now, maybe they're out there, but I don't know of one. So does that mean that women are just perpetually put in a position where they have to disobey God's word? No. It means you obey God's word and you leave your husband to the Lord. But notice he says now, he goes on and tells why. Why do wives submit to husbands as to the Lord? Why? Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. You know, the head is what controls your body. Without the head, your arms wouldn't know what to do. Your legs wouldn't know what to do. It's the central control center. And the principle that God's laying out is God says, I'm going to speak to the husband about the direction of the family. That's how God set it up. Not that he doesn't speak to the wife as well, but God speaks to the husband about the direction of the family. So if the wife is leading the husband and God's speaking to the husband, the family's going to be going the wrong way. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. Now, notice what he starts to do, guys. And here is going to give you, if you're struggling with this, if you're having a hard time, ladies, here's going to give you some more reason why God does this. Notice what he says, as Christ is head of the church. In the rest of this passage, you're going to see that Paul begins to relate the marriage relationship to a picture of Jesus and the church. Guys, we're his bride. The Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. The way that we respond to our husband tells the world what our husband's like and either draws them to our husband or pushes them away. What do I mean? Well, if I call myself a Christian, I'm saying that I'm married to Jesus. And if Jesus asks me to do something and I totally ignore it, and the world sees me ignoring it and says, well, what are you doing? I thought you were a Christian. What are you doing here? Well, you know, I don't know or whatever. What does that say to the world? It basically says that, well, your husband, you obviously don't care very much about him. And so why should I care about him either? It's a picture of Christ to the church. Now, how does that work with a marriage relationship? Ladies, I can tell you this. When you submit to your husband as to the Lord and the world around you sees you doing it, men and or women, it's going to draw them to the Lord. You're going to be a picture of what Christ is to the church because you're going to be such an oddity. I can tell you, from the society around us, you're going to be an oddity. There's no doubt about it. Do it. That's what the word tells us to do, and that's the reason. It's a picture of church, of Jesus to the church. He says he's the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Again, showing that it's not the husband that's the one you're really submitting to. It's the Lord. He's the savior of the body. He's the one that's doing it all. And he's going to follow this picture or this theme through the rest of it. Notice he says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Guys, what do you think the word everything means? Yeah, it means everything. I can't tell you how tempted I was to get up here and soften every bit of this. I was greatly tempted to soften it back and maybe come across. Guys, that's what the word says. And so, again, in the proper perspective, very easy. And very wonderful in a marriage. In the wrong perspective, devastating. Horrible. But he says in everything. Well, how much is that? Well, in finances, he's terrible. How can I trust him in finances? He's terrible in finances. What about in the rules for the family home? Well, he's opinionated. I don't agree with the shows he says. He says they can't see these shows. I say they can. Are you going to submit to what his opinion is or what his call is for the family? What about in family direction? Well, I can't. This guy's nuts. I mean, he's a moron. I mean, how am I going to let him direct our family? You know, I've got to direct the family. Guys, these are all temptations that Satan will bring in, but God has a reason and God has a plan. Let me ask you this. Do you trust God enough and is your God big enough to direct your husband even when you know he's going the wrong way? That's the bottom line. Do we trust that God can do it? And is he going to be able to turn things around? God's in control, guys. We've got to trust that he's in control. And it's interesting, the ability to submit to your husband is really a reflection of your ability to submit to the Lord. I submit to you that a woman that can't submit to her husband is a woman that cannot submit to Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So the two go hand in hand. If you can't submit to your husband, I guarantee you, you're not submitting to the Lord. There's other areas in your life where you're not being obedient to the Bible. In other words, it's just a matter of getting down to be obedient. Now remember, guys are next. Don't worry. This is the ladies' section. Usually when I do the marriage counseling, I start off with the guys' section because it's more comfortable for me to say. But I say, we're just going to go straight through the way we're doing it. And I want to say this too, ladies, I want to challenge you, because if you say that you just can't trust yourself to submit to your husband, in essence, biblically, what you're saying is, I can't trust the Lord. I can't trust him. I'll have to handle this one. I know the Lord says do it. I know the Lord says, you know, it's in the command mode there in the Greek. It's a military term. I don't care. I don't care. I am not going to obey the Lord on this one because I don't trust him. Now, none of us probably would have the guts to say that, but that's the bottom line. That's what it comes down to. If a wife says, I just can't submit to my husband. And again, remember the proper definition of submission. Now, husbands, time to switch hats. And this one's a little bit easier. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now we come to the one command for the husband. Love your wives. Now that shouldn't be so hard, should it, guys? Simple, easy thing. Love your wives. And if you're thinking, well, I do love my wife. I told her last year and nothing's changed. And I still love her now. Guys, that's not loving your wife. That's not loving your wife. Loving your wife is something that takes effort. The Bible describes a marriage as a garden. And those of you that have worked in gardens before realize what it's like. You don't just go out and, first of all, you got to work the field. You got to work the field and you have to plant good seeds. Say the right things. Do the right things. When you plant the good seeds, then you have to water them. And then you wait for the fruit to come up. But guys, what happens in between the time you plant the seed and water them and wait for the fruit? Yeah, weeds come up all over the place. You've got to keep going back out in the garden and pulling weeds out on a regular basis. If we're not, as husbands, weeding our garden on a regular, and it's not the wife's responsibility to weed the garden of the marriage, by the way. The heaviest burden falls on the husband by far. And husbands, God's going to hold us accountable for our marriages. And God's going to hold us accountable for our wives. And we've got some more things that kind of intensified a little bit here. But as far as pulling the weeds go, that's our job. If there's a problem in the marriage right now, it's not your wife's job to get it fixed. It's your job, husband. Yeah, but man, she makes me so mad. We can't even talk to her. Well, are you going to obey the Lord or are you going to disobey? You have a choice. You can disobey the Lord. You can reject his word. Well, I'm not saying I'll disobey the Lord. Yeah, you are, because you're not loving your wife. Well, that's kind of harsh. Well, you deal with it. That's God's word. It's time to repent and pull the weeds and humble yourself and get right with your wife and restore your marriage. And by the way, husbands, the Bible says that if your relationship is not good with your wife, your prayers to God are hindered, which means now your relationship with the Lord is blown. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it means that you've got to get your act together because you're not doing things the right way. One rule, love your wives. And it means as a lifestyle. It means on a regular basis, love your wives. When I talked about telling your wife you love her, you know, once a year, no, it means on a regular basis. You know, it's interesting. Wives need to know they're loved, and they need to be shown regularly. Now, I don't know if guys don't need that as much. Some guys do, but most guys don't. Different personalities. But guys, you know where I can relate to this? I need to know on a regular basis that Jesus loves me. Are you like that? I am. Well, guess what? I'm a bride. I'm the bride of Christ, and I need to know that my husband loves me. And I go through hard times, and I'll find myself saying, Lord, show me something today to let me know you love me. Anything. Speak to me, God. Show me some way, in some special way, that you love me and that you've not forgotten me and that I'm on your heart. And God always does it. And I realize, you know what? I understand that feeling. I need to know that I'm loved by the Lord. Well, wives need to know that too, guys. That's how they're made. They need to know they're loved. I guarantee you. You tell your wife you love her. You can tell her more than once in a day. You can tell her in the morning, honey. You wake up in the morning and you roll over to look at her, and she rolls over to look at you, and you say, honey, you're beautiful. Well, she knows you're lying right there because she's been sleeping all night. I'm just kidding. But you look at her and you say, honey, I love you. I love you. And then you get up, and maybe during the day you call her on the phone. You say, honey, I love you. You know, and then you do whatever. And not always, but they'll still be at nighttime when the lights go out and you're laying there. A lot of times, guys, you hear the question, honey, do you love me? And you've already been telling her throughout the day you loved her. Now, why is that? Because wives need to hear they're loved. And they need to know they're loved. And I want to say this, guys. You need to start on a regular basis telling your wife you love her. On a regular basis. I mean, just periodically. I think throughout the day, throughout your life, you need to let your wife know that you love her. She needs to hear it. But now, hearing is not enough. You've got to do some things every so often. Show her that you love her. It's one thing to say you love her all the time. But when's the last time you just bought her a bunch of flowers and brought them home? When's the last time you just picked her up a little trinket, a little gift? I don't know when that is. You don't have to do it every day, every week. But I mean, there should be on a regular basis, ever so often. Don't just tell her, show her. Just out of the blue. And you know what? Now, don't do the old anniversary, birthday, thing. Well, I got you flowers last year, you know. You know, $50. Come on. Long stem. I got stuck by them even. No. You know what? Just for no reason. So we have to make a choice to do it. We have to tell her and we have to show her. I read an interesting story just today about a young man who was trying to win the love of this damsel that he thought was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. She wouldn't even talk to him. So he started writing, supposedly a true story, started writing her all these letters, 6 or 7 letters a week. He got up to like 700 letters telling her how much he loved her, writing all these letters a week. No joke, she ended up marrying the mailman because she saw him so much. He came every day. And, you know, she just got to know him real good. They ended up getting married. Now, what's my point in all that? Well, she heard it a lot from one guy, but she saw the other guy a lot more. Guys, you can tell your wife you love her. You can even write her little notes, which are sweet. But if you're not spending any time with her, you're not loving your wife. And it's time to repent. Bottom line, I mean, whether or not it sounds harsh or not, that's what the Bible says. It's time to spend time with your wife. It's time to hash those things out. Now, it's interesting to me that, you know, nowhere in these two rules, the woman gets her one rule, just one thing. God says, just deal with that one. If you can just spend your life dealing with that one, husband, I'll give you one. You just your whole life, you do that one. If both do it, it'll be great. It never tells the wife to love her husband. Did you know that? You're not going to find a command in Scripture for wives to love their husbands. Why? Because you're supposed to hate us. No, I'm just kidding. Because, and that comes natural. No. No, we earn that. We earn the hatred part because of what we do. No, you know why? Because wives, you naturally love us. Now, that doesn't mean that the heart can't be turned hard. But what it means is wives naturally love their husbands. You just do. You just love us. Now, we can push it and push it to where your heart hardens up. But wives just naturally love. So God never gives that command for the wife to love. Now, how do we love our wives? Well, notice what he says. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Guys, we have to be self-sacrificing for our wives if we're going to truly love them. Self-sacrificing, even as Jesus did for us. Jesus laid his life down. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of heroic thing where you die for your wife. If that ever happens, you know, that happens. But my point is, what about daily sacrifices? Honey, I'd really like you to stay home tonight. I'd love just to spend some time with you. Well, I'd love to, honey, but I got this real thing I got to do. I'm really, really busy. Wait a minute. Wait, whoa, whoa. Is that self-sacrificing as Christ loved the church? What about not the ball game? You're not even going to go there, are you, Mark? Yeah, I'm going to go there. Your wife says, honey, I'm hurting right now, and I need you right now. I need your time. I just need to be like, I've got somebody to take the kids. But honey, it's the SEC championship. I mean, what are you doing? I need you right now. You've got me. You've got me. Now we say, that seems pitiful to me to say, I lay down my ball game for you. When Jesus said, I'll go to the cross for you. Guys, there are some guys that wouldn't lay down the ball game for their wife. They would not do it. They say, she can wait. She'll get over it. Tough it out. That's not loving your wife. That's hardening your wife. That's being abusive to your wife. That's turning your back on your wife. When your wife needs you, you know, I'll tell you what, as the bride of Christ, when I need my husband, he's there for me. He's never once said no to me. He's never once turned me away. He's never once rejected me. He's always accepted me. He's always brought me in. I'm not saying we can be perfect. I'm saying this is what God's asking us to do, which means we've got to be praying. We've got to say, Lord, I need your help to do this. I can't do this without your power. And God says, all right, I'll give you the help. I'll give you the power that you need to do this. And that's how we have to do it. There's just no other way that it's going to be done if we don't do it that way. Notice we're to give ourselves. And this is interesting to me. He says we're to give ourselves, even as Jesus, rather, I'm sorry, not, this is something, guys, that's important, I think, for guys to realize, and one that I think hit me like a ton of bricks a while back, and that is you can be home and not be home. Notice he gave himself. That is, he was there for her. Guys, there's times we can be home and say, well, look, I stayed home all day, but yeah, but did you talk to her? Did you say anything? Did you just stay home and work all day? Did you share your heart? Did you listen to her heart? Then you didn't give her any time. Still, the time wasn't there. And so the time has to be there. Also, he said, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. Look at verse 26. It says, again, further examples of how Jesus loves us and how we're to love our wife, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. Guys, even as Jesus sanctifies and cleanses his bride, the church, so too the husband is supposed to sanctify and cleanse his wife. Now, this is one where, obviously, if you don't know the word said this, you've not been doing it. But again, it's in the command. It's a command that the Lord gives us, and that is to be cleansing and sanctifying our wives with the washing of the water of the word. What does it mean? First of all, sanctify means to set apart for sacred use, and cleanse means to cleanse from stains and shame. So even as Jesus sets us apart and cleanses us from stains and shame, that's what we're supposed to do with our wives. Now, how in the world can we do that? How are we supposed to fulfill that? Notice, by the washing of the water, by the word. The word there's rhema, the spoken word. What he's saying is this. Guys, you're supposed to be reading the Bible to your wives. It's a command of the Lord. But I'm no teacher. You're the pastor. I bring her here, don't I? Teach her something. Right? You don't have to be a teacher to obey God's word. The Bible says, read your wife the word of God. Read her the word of God, because what happens is literally when it talks about to wash her in the word, it really says bath. It means take a bath, not take a bath together. I guess you could and read the word. I don't know. Sure you could. You're free in Christ. You're married. Let's not go there. But I already went there. How do I get out? Yeah. No, it means, man, just flutter in the word. Now, let me give you some suggestions. Guys, you know, Jesus sanctifies us and cleanses us by his spoken word. Tonight, you're getting a bath in God's word. He's bathing you. And what's happening is some of the dirty areas are getting scrubbed and you're going, ooh, wow, I didn't realize that area was, ooh, that area is dirty. Oh, that area is dirty too. Because the word's cleaned you off. Don't panic if you feel like you're blowing it in all these areas. Hey, I get convicted before you get to hear it. I've got to have all my dirty places exposed and have God scrub them. Now it's your turn. But this is good. It's a washing of water. It comes down, it finds the areas of dirt and goes, whew, and washes them away. Now, first of all, how do you do that? All personalities are different. I want to encourage you, start now. Husbands, if you're not, reading your wife the word. You might say, yeah, but we're kind of, you know, not very structured. You know, maybe you're saying you are structured. Maybe you're a very disciplined, structured type of person. Well, if that's the case, then set aside a certain time when you're going to do it. If you want to do it every night, do it every night. If you want to do it once a week, do it once a week. But I wouldn't do it any less than once a week. Set aside a time. Just get in the word. You don't have to be a teacher. Start in the book of Matthew and read one chapter and say, Lord, just show us something. If God didn't show you anything, don't make it up. And wives, don't expect your husband to be spiritual giants where suddenly, wow, that was deep, honey. You know, just, or, you know, come on, is that was it? You know, oh, I'm bathed, edified, built up in Christ. You know? And the poor husband's sitting there going, well, I'm trying. I mean, I don't know what to do. He said, read it. Here it is. God commanded me. I want to be obedient, so I'm doing it. So here I go. No, wives, be very gracious. When Tracy and I got married, I was a babe in Christ. She had been in the Lord for years. And all of a sudden, she's got this babe in Christ. The head of the home is supposed to be sharing the word with her. She never once made fun of me. She never once said, is that it? She listened. Wives, be gracious with your husbands. Maybe they've never done it. Don't beat them up. Oh, yeah, well, you have never read me the word. Well, see, now you're just starting more problems. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe it's the first time he's ever heard this. Maybe he didn't realize it was a command from God. And if he doesn't do it, he's in disobedience. Maybe he didn't know that. Maybe he didn't know he was in disobedience. So now he's decided he's going to repent and become obedient. Give him a break. Let him do it. Now, but we're not real formal. We can't just sit down where our life's real crazy. Well, then in the car, when you're heading to the mall, get the word out. Hey, man, let's do chapter 6. Okay, that'd be great. Just start reading chapter 6. You're washing your wife in the word. Your kids, let her drive and read the word. Sometimes, you know, they're doing the laundry. They're doing the laundry. Grab your Bibles. Go down there where they're doing the laundry and just start reading it. Say, look at this, man, and just start reading it. Got something to share with the honey? Wives, submit to your husbands. No, don't go there. But just start reading the word to them. Share with them. Make it very, it doesn't have to be, guys, it can be very natural. In your quiet time in the morning, you should have a quiet time. Now God's given you something, you have something to share with them. But even if you don't, still, you can just read the word. God's word will minister on its own. So if you're real formal, set aside a formal time. If you're both real flexible, be flexible. While she's cooking, she's in there cooking dinner, walk in there with your Bible, sit down and say, honey, this is great, listen to this. And just start reading it. Share with them what God put in your heart. Again, if God didn't do anything, then just read it anyway. But start washing your wife in the word. And what we're going to see next week, we'll go back over this, washing her with the water of the word, because we're going to see the results that it has in the wife. And I'll tell you this, husbands, if we wash our wives in the water of the word, we're going to have a sweet wife and a sweet home. If we don't, well, we get what we work for. And we're also going to see next week that the husband is responsible for how the wife is. The Bible says she's the reflection of the husband. My wife's cold and hard. Well, you just told me what you're like. Cold and hard. And husbands, if we don't realize that, it's time to start looking at our own heart. Hey, we're his bride. He's our husband. Let's have communion with him. Let's submit to our Father. Submitting one another to one another and submitting to our Lord, coming under his authority so that the battle might be won and that he might be honored. And let's just worship him. And let's just lay it out there. Again, I want to say this before we finish. Wives, don't beat up your husband for the areas they've been failing. Husbands, don't beat up your wives for the areas they've been failing. Let's don't beat up each other. Let's love each other. Let's have grace toward each other. Let's pray for each other. And let's start brand new with the instruction manual, how to get our marriage going the right way if we haven't been doing it.